time. Well, let's just keep looking at this. I have a lot of questions, so you might have a lot of questions you want to ask too. So we have salvation. At salvation, we are forgiven. Right? We know that we're forgiven. Our sins are completely forgiven. Our old sin record is erased. It's washed away. As far as the east is from the west, we're forgiven. We are justified. It's just as if we've never sinned. That's how God sees us. We are saved. We're saved from hell. We're saved from our sins. We're saved from the old man. We're saved from that life of destruction. And we're adopted into the family of God. This is all the stuff that's happening at salvation. That's pretty big stuff. We are a child of God. We're clothed with Christ in righteousness. We're clothed with him. We are free. Free from sin. Free from the desire to sin. Free, we're Christ's friend. No longer just a son, we're also a friend, Christ's friend. We are a joint heir with Christ. Those things which are in heaven, the spirit realm, those are our inheritance. Heaven is our inheritance. A life of freedom and godliness, that's our inheritance. Hidden, we are hidden with Christ in God. We're hidden. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places, and we're a new creature. This is what we are at salvation. How real does this feel to us? Yeah, that's me. Yep, absolutely. Hidden with Christ. I'm a new creature, totally new creature at the new birth. I am free from sin. I'm Christ's friend. I'm a joint heir. I'm all of these things, adopted as his child. Is this a reality in our life? Is the question. This is what God says we receive it at the new birth experience. But a lot of people don't experience this and don't understand why. They don't understand what's going on. So, at salvation, we're just going to go back and look at this. At salvation, we're going to break it down into simple pieces, so if it feels too basic, forgive me. But at salvation, we are justified as if we had never sinned, just as if we had never sinned, and we are instantly seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, that's almost beyond what we can comprehend, right? What does it mean to be seated with Christ in heavenly places? But all of a sudden, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's what the Bible says. We're made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, just as if we'd never sinned. Okay, so let's go and look at that. What is seated with Christ? We have a spirit, we have a soul, and a body. So I have it written down like that. Most of us have seen it. And this is the unsaved spirit. The spirit before we become a Christian, that's our soul. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And our body is this earth suit that we live in. Okay, we know this stuff. So what happens when we get saved? Oops, this thing is jumping around. What happens when we get saved? Whoop, there. God places his spirit inside of us. And that's a little bit what this looks like. We still have our soul, we still have our body, but he takes his spirit that's inside of him and comes and puts it in us. And I don't understand, I don't even profess to understand, to know the difference between my human spirit and his spirit, to know what happens in that transition. If the two become one, if our spirit becomes subject to the Holy Spirit, his spirit, what that looks like. I don't have a clear picture on that. But what I do know is that we receive God's spirit inside of us, the life of Christ. Now, we are walking on this earth, and we have the life of Christ in us. It says Jesus is in us. And we're walking on this earth with Jesus in us. Everywhere we go, we are taking Jesus with us as we walk on this earth. But at the same time, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So we're walking on this earth. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Jesus is in us. And so that means we can be walking on this earth living, but also looking at life from a heaven toward earth perspective. How many of you feel like, yeah, I do that? That's the way I live my life. Wow. But that is, I believe, the way a Christian is supposed to live his life. We're taking Jesus with us. Everywhere we go, we're walking on this earth. Jesus is with me. So I'm shaking Miguel's hand. Jesus just shook your hand. This messes with our minds. All right? That almost sounded blasphemous, right? if we don't understand what we're dissecting, it almost feels blasphemous. So, let's keep going on. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are new. So, what are the all things that have become new? Did we get a new body? You got saved again. Most of you's here. Did you get a new body? You did? No, I don't think many of us got a new body. I don't think any of us got a new body. But according to salvation, description of salvation, a part of that salvation experience is healing. So we could experience healing at salvation. And my belief is we should be experiencing a whole lot more healings at salvation, because God says that's a part of salvation. But we didn't get a new body. Did we get a new soul? Our mind, our will, and emotions. We got a new soul? Mike shaking his head, no. No, we didn't get a new soul. We still feel, we still see life through the same eyes, and we still think the same way. Some things shift. Now, there are parts of our soul that got healing, and there are parts of our soul that didn't. But we didn't get a new soul. Did we get a new spirit? We did get a new spirit, and that's what changed. So, why don't you sit with Mom? Yep. I'll be right here. So we did get a new spirit. And that's what we need to get this recognized. Yes, we got a new spirit. That's what changed. The life of Christ is now in us. And it is begging, it is crying to come out and for everybody to see that life of Christ. So I keep moving on without knowing it. Here's the question, though, because God has placed his spirit inside of you. So now I want to ask you a question. Do you identify more as a sinner who is saved by grace, or as a saint? If I ask you to raise your hand, are you a sinner saved by grace? Is that what you identify as? Or are you a saint? Which one would you raise your hand for? Saint. Who said that? Steve says saint. What do you identify as? What's the first thing that you identify as? Are you a saint or are you a sinner saved by grace? What's that? Both. Okay? What about the rest of you? I'm not trying to be a trick question. I am trying to shift your theology, though.
I think part of it is what we think of that with the word saint. Like we say, Galen is a saint, you know, because he did something for you.
Okay?
So part of it is our understanding of the word.
Yeah? So, if you look at 1 Corinthians 1, 2, I'm not going to look it up, but 1 Corinthians 1, 2 says, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he said, saints, I'm speaking to you, Corinthians, saints by calling. And we resist being called saints because we look at our soul and we say, oh, man, look at all that corruption in there. I'm not a saint. Well, listen, you never will be good enough. Make yourself good enough to qualify as a saint. You're a saint by calling. Jesus says you're a saint because he looks at you and he sees his life inside of you and he says, ah, that's a saint down there, a saint by calling. And so we go around on this earth and we want to raise our hand and say we're a saint. That sounds blasphemous. We more quicker tend to identify as the sinner. I'm just a sinner who's saved by God's glorious grace. There's truth to that. But now, who are you identifying as? Are you going to stay in that? I'm a sinner saved by grace. Or are you going to identify as a saint? I think it is, yes, I believe that's part of it, but I think it's a lack of understanding who we are. A lack of understanding who we are. God says you're a saint. Well, I'm just a sinner, God. I say you're a saint. Why do you want to identify as a sinner? And we keep wanting to identify as a sinner saved by his glorious grace, which was true. But now let's get out of that and let's get into the new man. Let's be a saint. Not because we qualify or we're good enough, but because he said you are. Same thing with righteousness. Are you righteous? Oh, I look at my soul realm. No, I just got upset yesterday. I can't qualify as righteous. It's not about my saying who I am. My son can't decide whether he is or isn't my son. He is going to be my son the rest of his life. It's not even an option anymore. But somehow we tend to jump out of looking at what happened in the Spirit and the new life that he gave us. This is not us anymore because we identify with what we did yesterday. We identify with what's going on in our soul realm, and we are now, we're not righteous. No, we can't say we're righteous. It's a trick of the devil. He wants you to muck around in the mud and say, yeah, okay, I'm just this angry person. No, I don't qualify as righteous. No, God says you're righteous, so I'm going to receive that. I'm going to live in that. It sounds proud. It sounds blasphemous, but we need to get that identity. We have to. If you want to walk in authority, if you want to walk in boldness as a Christian, you need to live from that identity. Are you perfect? It's another one. Are you perfect? Of course I'm not perfect. When I look at my soul, of course I'm not perfect. When I look at the life of Christ that he placed inside of me and says, now that's who you are, I'm perfect. So raise your hand if you're perfect. I'm testing you to see if I'm clear or not. The point is, who are you identifying as? Are you identifying as your feelings from the feelings that are coming from your soul realm? Are you identifying from the life of Christ that he has placed inside of you? That is the difference between the new and the old man. The new man is that life of Christ that he has placed inside of you. The old man is the one who flips back into the old man, the feelings that we always were, and the struggles and the sin. That's old man thoughts. Yes, I don't deny that I flip into old man thoughts, and you will probably see me operate in the old man. I don't want to be that. I choose to be this. I have to continually choose to recognize where I'm at. God sees his life in you, and he says, that is my saint. That is perfect. That is righteous. Everywhere we go, that life goes with us. So when we speak, and I believe I have the life of Christ in me, and I'm living in his imposition in Christ, I'm living from Christ, the words that are coming out, Christ is speaking through me. Christ is speaking through you. I'm not saying I'm God. Don't misunderstand that. I am not God. Where the people we touch, we pray for, Jesus is coming and working through us. People are being touched by us, but by God. We're praying, we speak the words, the things are being activated. Everywhere we go, we're taking Jesus with us. So, there's a battle between God, who God says we are, and who we perceive ourselves to be. Is that right? There's a battle. We have to recognize that. There are two realities. There is the old man and the new man. And people can be Christians. This is a reality for every Christian in this world. There is an old man and there's a new man. And unfortunately, too many Christians live in the old man. Yes, they're saved. I believe they're going to heaven. But they're living out of the old man. And they wonder why life doesn't work. They wonder why they can't receive and walk in the promises that God has given them. It's because they're living in the old man. The old man is all about, it's all about me. It's all about what I want to do. And the new man His elect of God. God's elect. That's amazing. The new man is just, it almost is just beyond what we can think of. It shouldn't be. The new man, God, is Colossians says, we put on the things of God. We're putting on this new man by getting born again and choosing God and all of that stuff. He fills us up and we put on Christ. So the things of Christ we actually put on in a sense. When we step out of the new man, which is our rightful position, and we step into the old man, we are putting off the things of God. The old man is a putting off of the things that God says are yours. We put them off by stepping back into the old man thinking, the old man living. The old man is flesh, lovers of the flesh, sinful, wretched man. That's Romans 7 the whole way. Oh, wretched man that I am, the thing that I don't want to do, I end up doing. That is the fight in Romans 7 between the old man and the new man. I don't want to do this, but boom, I end up doing it anyways. That is a Christian in that fight between trying to walk the journey of living in the new man and falling back into the old man. The new man is about the Spirit of, is about God. It's about what God's doing. It's about the things, he loves the things of God. He is free from sin, and he's perfect and righteous, like I explained before. This is the new man. This is who we are called to be and called to walk in. But the problem is, we keep getting our eyes set on the places that we see that we're living in the old man. And then we think that's us. That is not us. This is not us. If we're in Christ, if we're born again, this is who we are. This is the reality of who we are. And if we don't experience it, and we're over here, this is not us. This is a lie from the devil. But we tend to think it's us. Oops, going too fast. Can you back me up a couple? All right. When we are in Christ, we are a new creature, a new man. We're a new creature, and we are living from the position that God has given us. That's who we are when we're in Christ. This is the position God has given us. It's not something that we're good enough for. You don't get cleaned up so you can take a shower. Well, I don't, at least. Does anybody get cleaned up so they can get clean enough to take a shower? Wow. We can't. God gives us this position. He cleans us up. We don't clean ourselves up so we're good enough to take a shower. Okay, so this here is above the line, below the line teaching. When you are below the line, you're in your old man. When you're above the line, you're in your new man. Now, the first thing that's going to jump out at you is that Jesus is Savior, is in the old man. Why? I don't deny that Jesus as Savior is a part of your salvation and a part of who you are. Most of us got saved because we didn't want to go to hell. Most of us got saved because it was for selfish reasons. And that's okay. But there comes a point in time when Jesus is going to have to be your Lord. Jesus, what Jesus says, we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And from a position of saying, yes, Lord, you are above the line. You're in Christ. From a position of Jesus is my Savior, and thank you, God, for saving me. I'm not sure I want to follow you, but I know I'm saved. I'm not sure I want to do that yet, but I'm so thankful I'm saved. That's a different part. And you're not going to experience what you say, experience when you live from a position of where you say, yes, Lord, I'm all in. From below the line, you are a victim. You're a predator to get what you want. When you're above the line, you're an overcomer. From below the line, you're surviving. I just want to get through this life. So many Christians are so desperate for this life to be over that Jesus would just come back and rescue them so they can go to heaven already. Because this life is so tough and so hard, and they're just trying to push through and not sin so they can get to heaven. But when you're living above the line, this Christian life, you are thriving. It is fun. It is life. It's not survival, it's thriving. A lot of Christians don't see that. They don't live from that part of the heart. Controlled safety, we try to control where we're at. We try to control our surroundings. That control produces decay. The opposite, and that's old man, the opposite is godly risk equals growth. If we're afraid to step out and take a risk, we're going to try to control our situation. If we choose to step out and risk, it equals growth. That's the new man. All kinds of things. That is a long teaching right there. Now, I want to go to this from a different angle again. I'm just hitting it from different angles so we can get it from different angles. So here I am. I'm in Christ. I'm in my position in Christ. I'm living my life. This is the new man. And I'm walking through life. And I encounter someone who says or does something to me that offends me. Okay? So without trying it or knowing it, I get offended. Instantly, I am no longer in my position in Christ in that area of my life. I'm not saying I'm no longer in my position in Christ in all areas, but in that area, I have stepped out of my position in Christ. I am not able to flow in the fullness that God has for me. We don't tend to get this, to recognize this. From that position, you have stepped out from underneath God's authority and God's protection because you are trying to do it your way. You're taking offense. You've opened the door for the devil to come in and wreak havoc. And so the next thing that you start believing lies. And the door just, boom, it just, unless you stop and correct this, things are going to keep going the wrong direction. And that is your old man. You step out from your position in Christ, you step into your old man, and you have this whole thing that comes up, and the next thing you know, you are doing things that you never dreamed you would ever do as a Christian. As a Christian, how do you get from the old man position to the new man? We know how to get from the new man to the old man. Just agree with sin. But how do you get from the old man to the new man as a Christian? What's that?
Agree with God.
How do you do that?
Agree with God.
Well, there's two steps specifically. Repentance and forgiveness are two basic prayers to come into agreement with God. So it's actually not that difficult. And me and my wife, we do this all the time. She'll look at me and she says, I don't think you're in position. Oh. And I'll tell her, I don't think you're in position. We've had that agreement. We want to tell each other when we see that we're out of position because we get out of position sometimes. And we don't want to be out of position. So we hold each other accountable. I'm out of position. Oh, well, where did I get out of position? It was fear that hit me. Okay, so I got to repent for agreeing with fear and choose to agree with God. Or this person offended me. I choose to forgive them. And I choose to get back in my position. It's actually very simple. And it can happen very quickly, but we tend to make it take a long time. I don't want to forgive that person. I just want to hold a grudge against them for a week. And we're living out of position that whole week and things are going wrong. We don't understand why. We don't have peace. We don't have life. We don't have freedom. We don't have what we had before. I forgot to add my slides. The verse, confess your sins and he is faithful and just and forgive and God will forgive you. So now, there is a Satanist who was coming against the churches. And he was going out there and he is trying to destroy them. And he came against this one church and they were having a prayer meeting. It's a true story. They're having a prayer meeting and the angels grabbed him and put him in his body and put him on the church floor in front of the pulpit. And God said to the preacher, your problem has showed up. Preacher opens his eyes, and the church was all praying, and here's this guy standing right, laying on the floor in front of the pulpit. So the church surrounded him, they began praying over him, and the guy got delivered from a whole pile of demons and all kinds of stuff. And this guy later started telling the story of how he perceived Christians as a Satanist. This is a Christian's prayer specifically. He said he would see Christians who were living in the old man, and their prayers would go up as smoke, and they would just disappear. He said, we weren't worried about those people. We didn't pay much attention to them. They were not a threat. Then he had Christians who, there was parts of their lives that were not lined up with Christ, and they knew it, but they weren't willing to go there, but they were all in. They're all in, but there's some things that they're just not willing to give up, and they know God is asking them to give it up. And they're praying, their prayers go straight up, and then they hit a ceiling. They hit a wall, and the smoke just kind of dissipates. Then, he said, we have the third type, and this is a Christian who's living from the new man, and he's a yes man to God. Yes, Lord, I will do that. Whatever you want. And this person starts praying, and his prayers go up, and they hit that ceiling, and they start to bore a hole through it. As that man presses in, God, I want freedom. I want to intercede for this person. He begins pressing in and declaring and praying and seeking God, and he bores right through that thing. Whatever that thing is, I don't have a clear understanding of what it is, but I recognize it's there. How many of you have ever prayed and felt like you hit a ceiling? All of us. If I back up one slide, you see the deal. It's that line between the old man and the new man. You are hitting a ceiling. Get back in position. Find out where you need to repent, who you need to forgive. Get into position and then pray again. Your prayer will go through from a place of being in position. So this guy, Satan said, so the demons see these guys that are in position and praying. And what do? They attack them. They try to distract them. They're going to get their phone to ring. They're going to get text messages. They're going to have emergencies at work. Anything you can think of, they're going to distract that guy. If the guy gets through to God and starts praying, now guess what they're going to do? They're going to do whatever they can to get that guy out of his position. How many of you have identified with that? They are going to attack you to get you out of your position. The two main attacks are usually through anger or fear. If they can get you angry or upset about something, they can drag you out of position. If they can get you to fear something, they can drag you out of position. That's the first two things I look for. They're going to try to get me out of position. And sometimes they do. And what do? As soon as you recognize it, repent and get back in position. Okay, I repent for that, and I get back in position and move on. I don't want to stay stuck there. I don't have to stay stuck there and repent and cry and ask for forgiveness for a day or three before now God can hear me again. No, get back in your position. Jump up. In football, you get knocked over, you jump up. You don't stay on the ground and cry for 3 days. So when you board through that thing, this is what is called an open heaven. And that person walks with that open heaven above him. Everywhere he goes, and we've seen people who walk like this, everywhere they go, there's this open heaven, and it follows them. And they pray, and they declare, and things happen. And we all want to be that person. And we all wonder why we aren't. Well, I'll tell you why. There's a part of us that's out of position. And we can get back in position. The devil is going to do anything he can to get us out of that position. But the amazing thing to me is how many times we choose to step out of that position. How many times the devil wins. He throws us a lie. He throws us a feeling. We know it's not from God. We know it's not true. And we go there anyways. Am I right? I am amazed. But that is the truth. I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to live from my position all the time. And I begin to recognize, wow, when I'm in my position, I can deal with my children from a completely new place of life. It's a totally different place. I can relate to people, work with people from a completely different place. There is now downloads of wisdom. There's revelation. There's understanding. There is spiritual discernment that you can't have when you're not in position. I want that. I want to live from this place, and that's why I'm so passionate about this subject. I am, if the word is desperate, is allowed, I don't know, but I'm desperate to live in this position because I recognize that every time I'm outside of this position, it's not flowing. And there's not a flow. And I say, why isn't this flowing? I don't even feel like trying to talk to this person. There's no flow. There's no flow of the Holy Spirit. I'm up against a block wall. Hello, you're out of position. And yet we're sitting there in front of a person trying to talk with them. We're out of position and we don't want to say, okay, I need to deal with God right now. And so we endure the next 45 minutes of conversation and we're not getting anywhere. We basically end up just chatting and nothing happens. And it's frustrating. We need to stay in position. It's so important and powerful for us to even live. Fire away. Uh-huh.
Exactly. What did it say?
Godly risk equals growth.
Right. Okay. So whenever I think about risk, why do you think about the possibility of failing?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a risk, right?
Yep.
So if you feel like you're supposed to go there, and you do, and you fail,
okay, good question. So, do we have to figure that out? I don't have a need to figure that out. If I sense God is saying, go this way, and I say, okay, step out in faith, I'm going to go this way, and it flops, I was following God to the best of my ability. I don't know if that, God, I repent if I did something wrong. Reveal it to me, and I'm going to keep going. What's the next step? And if we have to decide if we have to figure that all out, we're going to get caught up in a whole mess of stuff we don't want to get caught up in. But I guarantee you're going to grow out of that experience if you choose to get back up and take the next step. Problem is, either most people say, okay, I stepped out and I followed God and I fell flat in my face. God doesn't work for me anymore. It's not safe to take a risk.
It's not just that, but you're also going to get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that in itself is going to take you down.
Yeah, if you listen to that.
Go ahead.
If you listen to that, you make agreements with that, and you're definitely out of position then. I welcome those questions because, like I said to those who weren't here earlier, I am developing this. This is the first time I'm delivering it, and I'm passionate about it. But there's some stuff here that's a new thought for me. I'm giving you the best I have, but I want the real. I want it all. So I welcome your critiquing. This is not clicking to the next one. Okay, there we go. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So we know that when we come to the cross, the old man comes to the cross, gets down on his knees, and chooses salvation. That is the way. That's the way. And we start this journey. Now, there is a journey with this. When we become born again, we are instantly justified, we're seated in Christ in heavenly places, but there is a journey of being sanctified in our soul realm. And this journey is where we die to self. We walk out the journey of dying to self. We walk out the journey of lining up with truth, the second cross. We walk out, this is where we have grace is given to us as we live and as we die to ourself. This is this place where character is being built inside of you. God wants that character to be built inside of you so that he can use you, so that he can trust you. If you don't have that character, I'm not sure that God is going to use you and trust you. This is a place where we are asking God, can I trust you? Can I trust God? And we step out and do something and it all falls apart. God, can I trust you? Where are you at? We're lining up, we're picking up the cross of Christ, and we choose truth, the way of truth, no matter what. It's about truth. The first one was about being saved, the way in. The second one is we got to line up with truth. Our soul needs to be sanctified. And then, this is what that looks like from my perspective. This is our spirit, soul, and body, the life of Christ in us. And we are saved because the life of Christ is in us there. It was a black circle representing the old man. Now it's a new man. So we're saved and we're walking through life and I recognize I got fear in my life. Wow. Okay. Well, I repent for that fear and I bring it to the cross. And when we do that, this prayer goes out and it breaks the way out through the soul. And it clears some things up. And then there's more prayers that we recognize. Well, I'm afraid specifically in this area. And there's things that start getting cleaned up. And then God brings us over here and says, yeah, but you're stepping into it. You're having an offense with this person over here. Oh, I don't want to do that. So we repent for that. We bring that to the cross. We get rid of that. And we start cleaning up the life, the Spirit of God that is inside of us that is begging to come out through our face and through our actions. It's starting to be able to come out. Now, you notice there's some points that come the whole way out from salvation. And we see that. Person gets born again. Wow, there is healing that's extended out through the flesh. Maybe they got free from, maybe they experienced a healing there. Maybe that part of their soul just, whew, the life of Christ is coming out from them, from that place of their life. But from this place over here, the life of Christ isn't coming out of them.
So a question about the slide with the prayer.
Yes. So my opinion is, in this area up here, where you're in alignment with God, when you're praying into that those things in that area, you're in position. Your prayers are going to be answered. Now, if you decide to step out in faith in this area over here, and you're not in position, I question how powerful those prayers are going to be. That's just this is stuff I'm still trying to figure out myself. But I question. And that's why, okay, so we recognize this area over here. We start taking that stuff to the cross. And after a while, because of some other things we repented from, we broke off some curses over here. All of a sudden, bang, we just experienced freedom in this area of our life. We've been fighting for this. We've been standing against this stuff. And all of a sudden, as we're choosing God, boom, this is no longer an issue for us. We broke through. And the life of Christ just comes out, and we're free in that area. It's no longer a fight. I don't know, but I've experienced that. Is that something the rest of you experienced? Yeah, people are shaking their heads. This is real stuff. We find an area that we need freedom in, that we're not free in, and we start pressing into that, praying and declaring and standing. And God's going to show us things that look like they're totally unrelated, way up here. And we start praying into that thing and cracking things open. And then we pray over here and we crack things open. And then God just brings out a whole new level of freedom. It is a journey of being sanctified. But this is who we are, not this. We are the new man, not the old man. And I'm not sure how long time I have here, but so we go down, we pick up the cross of Christ, we choose his way, truth, and we go up that journey of being glorified. And this is a place of living in position. As soon as we recognize we're not in position, we get back in position. I'm going to stay in position. Doesn't mean we never got pushed out of position, but we just jump back in position. We've learned to do that way quicker. We're not walking around for a week. muddling in out of position old man theology. As soon as we recognize, bang, I'm back in. Yes, God. This is a place of we are able to extend grace to those around us. We now have the something to give. Not because we've studied enough and have enough of knowledge on the subject, but because that life of Christ living in position, that wisdom and that discernment, that life is able to come through. And we're able to extend grace to people. Now God is asking, can God trust us? He's putting an assignment on your life. He says, go do this. Can he trust us? He's actually giving us a responsibility. And it's almost like the question is in his court. Are we trustworthy? Is he going to be able to trust us to do what he's giving us to do? And we have to step out in faith. We know we can't do that. I can't lay my hands on people and declare healing. But Christ can. And if that is what I sense to do, I can do it from that belief. And he may or may not get healed. That's not my problem. I don't have to figure out if I was out of position. I don't have to figure out why something I didn't experience something. I just choose to live from that position. So the new man, again, Romans 6:11 says, consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to Christ. Believe. That old man is dead. God says, consider him dead. We say, he's still alive. Consider him dead. You're the new man. Identify as a new man. Live from that place. It shifts the way you see life. It shifts the way you live. I live as a son. I don't live as that sinner. Do I flip into the old man sometimes? Yes. But I'm the new man. From the new man, we are the new man. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. From the new man, the kingdom of God is within you. And you're walking around living from a position where the kingdom of God can move through you everywhere you go. And you will experience his protection. You will experience his provision. And you will be empowered to do what he calls you to do. So that is where I'm going to finish this. But God bless you, and I welcome discussion. I welcome your discussion and to see what you are hearing, what you are seeing. And by all means, live in the new man.